Set your course for the Hoth system. General Veers, prepare your men.
All troops will debark for ground assault. Prepare to target the main jet.
Echo Station 3TA.
On an Imperial Walker.
Attack pattern Delta. Go now. Watch that clock fire, boys. Right now, I feel like I could take on the whole Empire myself.
Target, maximum firepower.
Imperial troops have entered the bay.
Hey everybody, welcome back to Echo Base. This is episode number 143, recorded on April 30th, 2018, just a few days before May the 4th, or Star Wars Day. We're all really excited here at the base for that big holiday event coming up, which really revolves around toys and things you can buy online and that kind of stuff. There really isn't any celebrations in my area, at least. I've got my regular co-host with us tonight. Of course, I am your host, Lou. I've got with me Eric and Tim. Eric, how are you tonight?
I'm doing pretty well, I guess.
Pretty well? Okay, that's good.
I would be more excited, I think, if I had a good way to celebrate May the 4th this year. But I think it's just going to be maybe popping the movies in and, I don't know, making some buffalo chicken dip or something. I'll probably skip Phantom Menace, but watching as much of the Star Wars saga as I can get into a single day.
Yeah, popping movies in on May the 4th is always a good thing. Probably start mine with... Rogue One, I think that'll be my intro to the day, hopefully.
Yeah.
Tim, how are you tonight?
I am doing well. I you guys seem to be doing the whole Star Wars Day thing pretty weird. I mean, I've got my Star Wars Day tree up already. And okay. There's no gifts under it because my family refuses to get me any for this day. Aww. But that's okay. That's cool. Just to throw it out there, TBS is going to be doing a Star Wars marathon all day on Thursday. So yeah,
we
plan
own the movies, so why wouldn't you want to watch it, you know, without commercials? I mean,
yeah,
well, I understand, like, if you're out somewhere or you know, but
for it to be running like during the day, because they are doing the marathon all day long. I'll just like throw TBS on in my office because that's pretty mindless. I don't have to worry about switching discs. It's not like I'm sitting there like with my full attention actually watching it. So it'll just kind of be cool to just have it
on
in
the background. Yeah, so. No, I can see that. Well, that's awesome. I'm glad you have your tree up. I'm glad you're ready to celebrate.
Oh, yeah.
I feel woefully inadequate when it comes to that because I don't have a Star Wars tree. I have enough Star Wars ornaments. My wife says I should have my own tree at Christmas time.
Yeah, you're the only one with a Death Star tree topper, so how you cannot have your own May the 4th tree, Lou?
Is May the 4th tree different than a Christmas tree? Because if it is, I'll get one.
It's completely different.
I'm not sure.
I worked in an office once. We had a Christmas tree or a winter holidays tree. And then we realized, well, it's also kind of a New Year's tree. And then, so on President's Day in February, our boss, she went and put little American flags on it.
Okay.
And then it became the Valentine's Day tree. By July 4th, put the American flags back on again. The tree just kind of kept getting repurposed all year long. So you know what? All you have to do is just get some of your Black Series figures, put them on the tree, put your Death Star at the top.
Well, right? I have enough Star Wars ornaments to cover the entire tree, so I don't even have to pull out my Black Series figures.
There you go.
I'm
problem
go
solved.
Think about the photographic opportunity, though, that you'll have, Lou, to get pictures of your figures, like, fighting each other around the tree and that kind of stuff. That could be awesome.
All the presents under the tree that you got for your fellow podcasters?
Yeah.
Yeah.
If the tree was at my house, though, wouldn't there be presents for me that were sent in by my fellow podcasters?
Well, that's kind of greedy.
Well, yeah.
I don't think that's really the spirit of the holiday, Lou.
No,
oh,
Lou,
I thought
it's
it was.
Not.
Oh. Okay. Well, at some point, I'll ask my wife to come in and I'll see if she'll, you know, okay the May the 4th tree.
Now, that's something you could get a picture of. Better yet, video. Because I know how that's going to go.
Yeah.
I'll you know, I haven't really seen a lot online this year for a lot of big events around May the 4th this time around. Maybe I'm just
I haven't either.
Missing them, but. there doesn't seem to be as much going on this year.
Yeah, I haven't seen a lot. I mean, Hallmark's been advertising. They have some stuff coming up. They've got a 25% discount for May the 4th for any online orders. And I think the new EDBDs come out on May the 4th as well. So I'll be looking for those. But yeah, otherwise, I mean, I don't know. I mean,
we just had the big Solo merchandising day.
Mm-hmm.
So there was that. And of course, Solo's coming out at the end of May. So I kind of feel like this year it's, like, it's both, it's a thing and not a thing at the same time. It's a thing because we're so close to Solo and everybody's really kind of focused on that. But then,
right.
Again, I haven't.
Well, this is the first time in years we've had a movie in May, right? I mean, we've always had the December releases now. And
yeah. First time you've got that, in a long time, yeah.
Yeah, right. You got that period between May the 4th and the movie coming out. So, yeah, the Solo stuff coming out last week was kind of maybe a deal killer for May the 4th.
Wow, 13 years it's been since we've had a May release.
Yeah.
Wow.
2005, episode 3.
Doesn't seem right.
We must have some listeners in the Dallas area.
Yeah, what's going on in Dallas?
Dallas, there's the Viva Dallas Burlesque location, which is doing okay. Two Star Wars shows uh-huh. this year. Star Wars themed shows, one on Friday, one on Saturday the 5th. Just saying, that okay. kind of came up okay. in the feed here.
Are you planning a trip to Dallas anytime soon, Tim? Are you?
Nope.
No? Okay. Nope. Didn't know if you were in the area. No, that's interesting.
You know, if this is the same burlesque act that I think it is, this is something they do every year. I mean, it's on one hand, it's kind of a silly thing to point out, but on the other hand, if it's the one I'm thinking of, they've done celebration conventions before. They keep it relatively tasteful.
Sure.
Is my understanding. And every year on May the 4th, they do some sort of a thing. This year, I guess they're doing a second show because it's on a Friday, so they can do May the 5th
mm-hmm.
as what the Fifth Awakens, I think they're calling it.
Yeah, I think so. Yep.
Nice.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah.
Let's see what else do we have. So for the news, let's dive right in, I guess. Okay. So upcoming Solo movie. We have yep. Alden Ehrenreich doing his best Solo impression, right?
Wait, there's a movie yep. coming out?
Tim.
I didn't. Wow.
Got to read the show notes, dude.
I know you're all about the whole right Infinity the Wars thing, but you know what?
I was going to say, this is like way early for Avengers 4. So what are you talking about?
Listen. Speaking, since you brought it up, I'm just going to say, if you've not watched the Patton Oswalt filibuster from Parks and Rec, so far his predictions have been pretty spot on. We got Thanos with the Infinity Gauntlet before it was that whole Infinity War thing was announced. We got Spider-Man being included in the story, which he predicted before there was ever a deal between Disney and Sony.
Did
he predicted the X-Men were going to end up later on being a part of all this. And now we have a Disney Fox merger. And then what else did he point out? That because Thanos has the reality gem, which means now he can teleport through different multiverses, we're going to end up with him in the Star Wars universe, or vice versa. We're going to have the Millennium Falcon and Chewbacca, and this is all going to be a big thing. And so in Avengers 4, come on, think about it. Why is it that they haven't given us the title of the movie yet? Because it's going to be Star Wars related.
It could be.
Rocket Raccoon on Chewbacca's shoulder.
Okay.
Shooting everything that moves. It's going to be awesome.
What are you guys drinking?
Do you think that Alden Ehrenreich might reprise his role as Han Solo in it? Could he?
Well, yeah. Of course he would.
Well, he has a deal for 3 more movies. Or at least a 3 movie deal with Lucasfilm. So does that mean he's going to do an Infinity War movie?
I think so. That's pretty much, that's locked.
Well, it depends if the deal is with Lucasfilm or with Disney.
Mm. Well, supposedly it's with Lucasfilm.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
So we're getting we're getting a Solo trilogy, right?
No.
How do you do a Solo trilogy? Solo means one.
Yep.
Trilogy means 3. Yeah, I don't get that.
Yep.
I think what it provides is some flexibility for Lucasfilm to do films within that time frame, you know, pre A New Hope.
Exactly.
And still have right. the Han Solo hook in it. Even though he is not the, you know, spotlighted character.
Yeah, but right.
this is maybe where you can do the Boba Fett film, yeah. you know, before A New Hope, and kind of show everything that happens with him and have a particular part of the story involve Han Solo and get some mileage out of Alden Ehrenreich. Something like that makes sense to me.
Well, it makes sense, but I mean, would you make it a three, you know, would you announce a three movie deal if it wasn't you being a big part of that three movie deal? I mean, you wouldn't do a deal like that just to have him available to be Han Solo in the background of one or two scenes because you're doing a Boba Fett movie.
Now, you would think that would be the case, but keep in mind that this is not Lucasfilm propagating this out to the media. This has come out through other sources. Not to say that it's inaccurate. I'm sure it's very accurate, but my point is that yet nobody is saying that these are going to be big roles. And when you think back to like the Avengers and stuff, they signed a deal with Mace Windu to make sure that he showed up in multiple Avengers films. But like when he shows up as a cameo at the end of Iron Man,
Eric, you're confusing your Mace franchises Windu, again.
The eye patch, the purple lightsaber.
There's no purple lightsaber with the guy with the eye patch.
Oh, the character, Samuel Jackson, I think he's.
Yeah.
When he shows up in that film, though, even if it's just like a post-credit scene, that is still like they have to sign him onto a contract and say, hey, listen, we've got you for 8 films. It doesn't mean that you're going to be the main character in all of them.
Right.
But like when we need you to show up for this post-credits thing, because it's important to teasing the rest of the franchise, you got to be there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I guess it makes sense. I mean, I was thinking of it more along the lines of if we're getting you for a movie, we're getting you for a movie, period. Not just, hey, you're going to be a bit part in this one movie.
There are times where people are signed on for multi-film contracts where they're only in one movie and they never do the second or third. Like it's just kind of a safety net, I think, for Lucasfilm. This is something that happens more often, I think, than people realize.
Yeah.
I don't think it necessarily indicates we're going to get additional solo films. Tim, what you said about a Boba Fett film, I could see him maybe having more involvement in that, but I'm looking at this and I'm saying this is not a big deal.
Yeah, I mean, it's much easier for them to negotiate this contract than to say 2 years down the road, oh, hey, you know what? We want to do this other movie, and it would be great to have Han in it. Let's see if we can get Alden Ehrenreich. Oh, he's not interested, or he's not available, or, oh, crap, now we have to cast another Han. It's way easier for them to say, we have a darn near guaranteed Han Solo.
Right.
For this, he also happens to be on contract.
Or Ehrenreich saying, what, you only want to pay me $2 million for that? No.
Yeah.
I ain't doing it.
And now they've got him on contract. You have a contract, dude. Yeah.
Right. It makes sense to have that available. You're absolutely right. But thinking about it the other way, though, I was thinking about this. If we do get more movies, with Han Solo, I'm kind of looking at this almost like the young Indiana Jones franchise where you go along and now you have this new guy doing the roles. And if it works out well, if this movie is fun and people enjoy it, you could do other Han Solo adventures that have nothing to do with the stuff that we're getting in this movie that would be kind of fun, possibly.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I was the first one on record saying I didn't really want this movie, but if it's a good ride, if it's a fun popcorn movie, I'd be up for another, Han Solo movie, just like I'm up for another Indiana Jones movie.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm not against that. If it's done well,
I would totally love to have a fourth Indiana Jones movie.
I heard they're going to skip straight to the fifth.
Well, I mean, however they want to number it, that's fine.
Oh, Lord. Okay. So, last up in the news, we do have a little bit about The Big Bang Theory. So we have the big wedding between Sheldon and Amy at the end of...
Oh, spoilers.
Shamey.
What do you mean spoilers? Come on. They've been talking about this all season.
and most of last season.
Yeah, yeah. I was like, wait a minute. Yeah. I was like, first of all, wait, did I spoil something? No, I didn't spoil something. It's been coming for years.
Yeah, but they could call off the wedding. I mean, we don't know the wedding's actually going to happen just because they're engaged and they've made plans and they've reserved places and, you know.
She might be a runaway bride, you're saying?
Right.
Or he might be a runaway groom.
It could happen.
More likely.
Okay, let's just bag the story. Then we'll just go on. And we don't need to talk about it.
No, but I want to know, like, if they were to have, like, some cool special guest stars, who might be in it? Who do you think?
Will Wheaton.
Well, yeah, Will Wheaton's kind of a given. He's always there.
He's always on.
I like seeing Will Wheaton on Big Bang. Who else could be there?
He's fun. And he plays that role well of just taunting Sheldon.
Yes.
I like that. So the other big guest star we're going to have is going to be none other than Luke Skywalker himself, Mark Hamill.
No.
Yeah.
That's a crazy rumor.
Come on. You think? Really?
It's true.
You think so?
It's true.
Actually, it's cool. I've seen some of the set photos. They've been all over Instagram and stuff.
Yep.
They look really great.
I haven't.
Yeah, it looks like they've all had a good time. And the whole cast was very clearly kind of, you know, geeking out over Mark Hamill being on set with them. So
right.
It looked like it was good. Yeah.
You know, I mean, that's gotta be a big thing for anybody really. Oh my God. You know, it's like something from your childhood and you really want to see him and say hi. And
sure. Yeah, sure.
I would not know what that's like.
So I'm looking at the webpage here and I'm trying to figure out, just for the people who are listening, who are fans, I'm trying to figure out who else is other big stars set for the finale include Laurie Metcalf, Jerry O'Connell. Unfortunately, Stephen Hawking is no longer going to be able to make it, nor Leonard Nimoy. But I think it'd be pretty cool to have. I want to see Mark Hamill and Will Wheaton throw down Star Wars versus Star Trek. It would fit the content of the show.
Yeah.
Right? If you're ever going to have that, this is the one place where you could legitimately have, like, the main geek representative from Star Wars versus the main geek representative from Star Trek and have it actually fit the content of the show. That's what I want to see.
Yeah. I know Will Wheaton did post a picture of him and Mark Hamill on Instagram also.
Oh,
which is pretty great. Yeah. Just neat to see, you know, those two together. And it promises to be fun.
I have a picture of me and Mark Hamill. I have a picture of me and Will Wheaton. I do not have a picture of me and Mark Hamill and Will Wheaton.
Well, if you were part of the Big Bang cast, then you would have that.
I'm going to go check my spam filter because maybe my invite didn't. Let me see here.
Yeah, they're going to have the host of Echo Base on as part of the wedding party.
It's kind of too late now, Eric, because they already shot it and it's a done deal.
Man.
It's a done deal. It's all over.
Oh, wow.
When is this set to air? Do we know that? We got to know that.
We could have looked it up before we sat down to record the podcast, but
why wouldn't we be prepared?
I think they've only got a handful of episodes. Yeah,
somebody should look that up while we're doing this.
I think we've got a handful of episodes left until the finale.
It's May sometime. I think it's like,
I think late May.
Second week in May, third week in May. Yeah.
Okay.
I will try to look it up while you guys talk about, I don't know, some nonsense or something. Talk some Star Wars.
We should talk about some Star Wars, considering that this is in fact Echo Base.
We've been talking about Star Wars. Where have you been, Tim? I mean, I didn't miss that, did it? Was I not talking about? Am I in the wrong show again? Come on.
Eric, I did accuse Lou of being in the wrong show last night when we recorded Random
Chatter.
And he
threw me for about 30 seconds. I went, what? Am I reading the wrong
nice?
Yeah.
And totally, it's not even April Fool's.
I totally bought that.
Well,
it
snowed here, and I'm like, well, this is clearly Echo Base. It snowed here today.
I'm jealous I got no snow. Sad. So the next two episodes of Big Bang Theory air on May 3rd, and the finale's on May 10th. It's closer than I thought.
Not too far off.
Okay,
May 10th, it's called The Bowtie Asymmetry. That'll be the one with Mark Hamill.
Nice. Cool. Looking forward to it. Speaking of things we're looking forward to, we did get an announcement about a week ago, I guess, for a new animated series coming to the Star Wars universe, Star Wars Resistance. What do you guys think about this?
Well, that's such an open-ended question. I know,
we knew it was coming. Wow. We knew we were getting something from these guys once Rebels was ending. This is going to be an anime-style animation show, right? So it's not going to be the same kind of animation we've had.
It's inspired by, well, tell you what, why don't we whip through the press release here?
Please do.
Yeah.
The anime explanation's a bit longer, and I think that's probably going to be one of the big things that people are either going to really like or really hate. So, but to come back to that in a minute. So the press release, thank you, Tracy from Lucasfilm, by the way, production has begun on Star Wars Resistance, an exciting new animated adventure about Kazuda Ziono. I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly. It's spelled X-I-O-N-O, a young pilot recruited by the Resistance and tasked with a top secret mission to spy on the growing threat of the First Order. It will premiere this fall on Disney Channel in the U.S. and thereafter on Disney XD and around the world. So that's a little different from Rebels. It's not going to Disney XD. It's going to, well, I guess the premiere is going to be on the Disney Channel. Maybe the rest of the ongoing series is on Disney XD. Mm-hmm. They've done that sort of thing before, too. Featuring the high-flying adventure that audiences of all ages have come to expect from Star Wars, Star Wars Resistance will feature the beloved droid BB-8 alongside ace pilots, colorful new characters, and appearances by fan favorites including Poe Dameron, Tim, and Captain Phasma, voiced by actors Oscar Isaac and Gwendolyn Christie, respectively. Moving on to the rest of the voice cast. The voice cast also includes Christopher Sean from Days of Our Lives, Susie McGrath from EastEnders, Scott Lawrence from Legion, Myrna Velasco from Elena of Avalor, Josh Brenner from Silicon Valley, Donald Faison from Scrubs,
funny guy,
Bobby Moynihan from DuckTales, Jim Rash from Community, and Rachel Butera from Tammy's Tiny Tea Time.
I just want to hear Eric
Lou
say
is
Tammy's
a big
Tiny
fan
Tea
of that
Time
show, by the way.
Right? I am. Yeah, I know. Are we all
the time?
So we're going to see maybe more Captain Phasma in this than we have in two feature length movies.
And that's with them saying that it'll include appearances by those people, meaning it's not necessarily main cast. And yet, we'll still get more Phasma this way.
Yep.
So of these cool actors, having... I know Josh Brenner. He's Big Head from Silicon Valley.
Okay.
He's been in other stuff, too. Donald Faison played Turk from Scrubs.
He's a great actor. He's very, very funny.
He's awesome. And then Jim Rash plays the Dean on Community. Also a good actor. I think all three of them would probably be really good voice actors. And the cool thing is we're going to end up being able to interview these guys.
That's pretty sweet. And Bobby Moynihan is from SNL.
Awesome.
So he's
What's
done.
That?
I said Bobby Moynihan's on SNL or was a cast member of SNL.
I thought I recognized the name from somewhere.
That's the only name I recognize out of this whole bunch.
mentioning Susie McGrath from EastEnders. EastEnders is a very, very funny British comedy. Pretty good show. I haven't seen it in quite a while, but it's a good show. So it'll be interesting. My expectation, given the fact that she's British, would be that she would be,
Imperial?
Of the Imperial ilk.
Yeah. Yep.
Like Mon Mothma, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So Lou,
go ahead.
I don't keep up with Days of Our Lives like you do. What can you tell us about Christopher Sean?
I know nothing. I know nothing.
Okay.
I was surprised about the beginning part of this before you mentioned the character actors. Talk about BB-8 having a prominent role in this show and having Poe as only occasional.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just wondering why they'd bring BB-8 into this. I mean, obviously he's a fan favorite and kids love him and everything else, but couldn't you make a new BB droid and I don't know. It just seems a little weird to have BB-8 being talked about as prominent in this new series.
I think we run into a couple of continuity hurdles. Chopper was kind of easy to do because he didn't have to overlap in anything else. But whatever you put in here, if they become a huge fan favorite, then there's kind of the, well, where is he in the rest of the films? And does he survive? You know, at the end of episode 8, people are like, hey, these 12 people are the only people left in the resistance. Well, where's our droid from the TV show?
Right.
So for lack of a better term, if you recycle BB-8 into this, then it kind of works, but then isn't he supposed to be Poe Dameron's droid? So is this like before he becomes? Right. That's kind of what you're getting at, right?
Yeah, exactly, because he is Poe's droid. And obviously we've had, you know, R2-D2 was more than one guy's droid for a while too, and he, you know, he got around.
yeah, that R2-D2, I tell you, he gets around. You ever seen Beneath the Dome?
No.
That's what we should watch on Random Chatter Theater. So you remember the Behind the Music documentaries that VH1 used to do?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, well, they did a Behind the Dome or Beneath the Dome documentary.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
And it had like actual scenes of like R2-D2 back in his boozing days and his womanizing days.
He's got these
black and white paparazzi shots of him with a bunch of women and, you know, him falling over on his face drunk and stuff like that. It was
okay.
It was really good.
That sounds fun.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. Yeah, we'll have to watch that in Random Chatter Theater. Be pretty cool. Anyway, yeah, so R2-D2 did get around, did have different owners, I guess.
Yeah,
I mean, I don't know,
though. It'd be fun to see how they portray this and how they explain it, but I'm also wondering why he's there and not, you know, attached to Poe's hip.
Right. Yeah. Moving through the rest of the press release here. The series was created by renowned Lucasfilm animation veteran Dave Filoni.
I've heard of him.
Executive produced by Athena Portillo, or Portillo, I guess, Star Wars Clone Wars and Star Wars Rebels. Justin Ridge, also from Clone Wars and Rebels. And Brandon Aumann from Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. They didn't specify whether it was the cartoon or the Michael Bay abominations. I'm going to assume it's the cartoon. And art directed by Amy Beth Christensen from Clone Wars and Rebels. So, other than Filoni, who my understanding is he's kind of moved away from the showrunner stage now, and he's more like overseeing the multiple Lucasfilm animation projects. At least that's been the rumor that there will be multiples. But so of the four lead creatives on this, there are two men and two women.
Mm-hmm.
So we've got a 50-50 ratio there for diversity. So that's good.
Oman, by the way, yes, he did the animated TV series from 2013 to 2017 for TMNT.
Okay.
Excellent. Okay. I've seen some of that. That's not bad.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly better than the Michael Bay stuff. and then finally, the last relevant paragraph. The idea for Star Wars Resistance came out of my interest in World War II aircraft and fighter pilots, said Filoni. My grandfather was a pilot and my uncle flew and restored planes, so that's been a big influence on me. There's a long history of high-speed racing in Star Wars, and I think we've captured that sense of excitement in an anime-inspired style, which is something the entire team has been wanting to do for a long time. So, the two takeaways from that are, number one, it's going to be pilot-centric. So I guess this is as close to Rogue Squadron as we're probably going to get. And the second one, so to be clear about anime, if we look at specifically what was said, anime-inspired style.
Mm-hmm.
It's not literally anime. So I think that's an important distinction. And then from the little graphic that was submitted with the press release, it looks like it's probably going to be two-dimensional and not three-dimensional.
Mm-hmm.
That would be a first.
Mm-hmm.
So anime style or anime-influenced style, you can look at things like Teen Titans, Voltron, that kind of stuff. You know, it's a very distinctive style. It'll be... I mean, the original Clone Wars miniseries was kind of anime-ish.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, so this isn't something completely foreign to Star Wars animation. It'll be interesting to see what they do with it. I mean, they've never disappointed, so I'm pretty optimistic about this.
Yeah, they've got a really good track record, obviously, going forward into this. So no matter what they do, whether it looks the same or not from what we had before, I think we're still going to get good stories. We're going to get, you know, high quality animation.
Yeah.
And it's going to look different, but I think we're going to be very pleased with the outcome.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Yeah. You know, when it comes to the art style, I have to say I had a really hard time at first getting into Clone Wars. And then there was an adjustment getting into Rebels, because there is a little bit different look to Rebels than Clone Wars. But I grew to like both of them, even though I wasn't all that thrilled with either of them initially. And I am skeptically optimistic. I'm not sure how to, like, I'm reserving my optimism about this, but
really,
if the past is any indicator, I'm sure that this is going to turn out great and that I'm going to end up loving it. I'm a little hesitant at the moment to get
That's what makes me be surprised by your comment, Eric, because we've liked what we've gotten so far from Filoni's team, and this appears to be the same people putting this together that we've had for the last two. I'm just curious. I'm really curious as to where your skepticism is coming from.
Honestly, it's probably in part due to my autism. Change is something that I accept, but you know, transitions are something that I struggle with sometimes. And this is a big enough transit. Like, I just, in the last two seasons of Rebels, I finally not only got comfortable with the art style, but really came to enjoy it. It took a season for me to get used to it, and then another season for me to really embrace it and be like, okay, this identifies this show to me.
Okay.
Now we're not only doing a little bit different art like we did going from Clone Wars to Rebels, but now we're going from 3D to two-dimensional, which I don't have a problem with inherently.
Yeah, I don't either.
And then an additional art style being it's a little bit more anime-based. And listen, I still have a lot of catching up to do on Voltron, but if you look at the art style on Voltron as kind of an example, I really like that. I think one of my concerns is I think this is it. As I'm thinking it through, it's less about this and it's more about the image that was sent with the press release. I don't know if you guys have seen it, or maybe I'm sure it's been floating around the internet. It's like the show logo and a little thing of BB-8 rolling across the bottom of the shot, but it's this bright, bright orange with these like super, super saturated color. I mean, it looks like an advertisement for a Caribbean beach or something. Like it looks like a vacation ad. It's too happy, light, like brightly colored, almost, I hesitate to put it this way because people are going to misinterpret it, but almost childishly bright.
Well, and I think a lot of people were saying the same thing when Rebels first came out too. They were saying that it was a less mature, maybe, type of animation compared to the Clone Wars. And it was simply different. And I get what they were saying, because that animation style is something that we certainly have a lot of similarities in the current animated shows that are made for very young audiences, like, you know, kids like 4 to 7 years old. But it ended up working very well. And I gotta say, for both the Clone Wars and Rebels, we saw those animation styles themselves mature as both of those series went on. If you look at season one of either one of those, and you look at the last season of either one of those, obviously, the character has matured, but the animation style itself also matured.
Right.
The animation was cleaner. The artists kind of found their groove once they got past the first season and because I think the artists in doing their physical representation of the characters also have to get into the heads of the characters too and have some kind of relationship with them to understand how they're drawn, how they move, how they react, that kind of stuff. There's things, I mean, what a lot of people don't realize is like one of the most important elements of animation is lighting. And on big animation projects, you actually have lighting directors. And even though you're not actually shining a light on animated characters, there's a way that light is represented in animation, whether it's done on a cell or digitally. And that makes all the difference in animation. Huge, huge difference.
And, you know, some of that too, Tim, as they go forward in the series and the budget affords them more models and more things to do, especially in digital animation, they'll have more of those models to work with in the bank. And, you know, the hair models change and character models change. And as they get them, you may use a new character in, you know, episode 4 of the first season. And now you have that character you can use in other ones. So you paid for them already. Now you have that model you can use.
Yeah. Yeah. They talked about early in Rebels how that's one of the reasons they had a lot of characters with helmets on, because then they wouldn't have to keep redrawing new faces. It saved them money.
Yep.
I guess my issue with this is I understand that I'm basing this on a single image of not even a character, not a ship, not anything, just an image with a perfectly acceptable looking BB-8 down in the corner. It's just, to me, there's so much bright orange and bright yellow and oversaturation in it that it really does look like it's a 1950s beach party. Like Teen Titans Go, not Teen Titans, but Teen Titans Go looks a billion times darker than this does. And I don't have to have it be all dark, you know, but like, again, 1950s beach party.
Sure.
I keep waiting for Annette Funicello to come out and, you know, with her beach ball to bring out a guitar. And I'm basing way too much on a single shot. I get it. Right. I get it. Don't email me.
I know it's just one image, and it does have that Caribbean-esque feel or South Pacific feel to it. But some of that, maybe that's from, you know, we talked about it in the opening part of this where he says his idea for this came out of his interest in World War II aircraft and fighter pilots.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe he's basing this on, you know, imagery he's seen from, you know, footage of, you know, Pacific Theater aerial battles.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know, so you get the cloud. I mean, that's what that image kind of reminds me of, with the water and the clouds. It could fit right in with that. And maybe it's there, but I mean, I don't know why we're doing dogfights in atmosphere with clouds, but, you know.
Then that even feels more like less of a reason to make it look like a 50s beach party to me. Like you're talking about a very dark period of time and a very particularly dark context for that period of time too. You're talking, you know, World War II fighters, not just the time period of World War II, but specifically the war itself.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm confident I'm going to love the show and that it's going to be fine. I'm just saying that I glanced at the image and my initial feelings were like, ugh, what? That doesn't, no, that can't be it. But again, I'm reading way too much into it. I get that. But the anime thing though, like, I think the two-dimensional thing is going to work out. Lou, what you were saying about the character designs and stuff and having to have different computer models and how much time that takes and actual cost. There's a cost involved in that. And a lot of people, I think, didn't even realize that until they started to talk about it during the making of season one of Rebels.
Yeah.
With two-dimensional stuff, I think that they don't have that same limitation. And that could be a big benefit to them. We could see things get much more dynamic right out of the gate. So that's a benefit.
Mm-hmm.
But I think for me personally, how well I'm able to connect with the art style is going to be either it's going to be right away or it's going to be so heavily influenced that it's probably going to take me a while.
Sure.
And I'm just curious as to what they're going to do in that regard.
Okay. Now I was just kind of curious. I understand now it's more of a feel for you of the look of the show, not a content based concern.
Yeah.
Yep. Okay.
What's exciting for me is the fact that they always do something different. And I like the fact that they're trying different things. They're trying different animation styles. They're trying different focal points. So, I mean, not only are we getting different stories, but they're taking the time to create new characters. And, you know, even with the Clone Wars, where we had a lot of characters that we were familiar with, they introduced a lot of side characters and B-level characters. And, you know, we had characters like Hondo, who showed up then in Rebels. Hell, I hope Hondo shows up in this. You know, he's a goofy character. And he has this very unique personality. And it would be nice to see a little thread that kind of ties these things together. And, you know, there is a span of time that passes, and Hondo will probably be pretty old for this particular time period. But I'd love to see him in there, and I hope he's still a pirate. I think it'd be great.
It would be.
That's a good question. There's a lot that they could do as far as bringing stuff back. I mean, the end of Rebels was so, I don't want to say cliffhanger-ish, because it wasn't really, but it was very much these characters, some of them have very monumentous stories ahead of them. There's Hondo that could come back.
Yep.
Ahsoka would be pretty old by that point, but we also don't know that much about her race and how long they live.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Are we going to see Ezra? Are we going to see Jason Syndulla?
Oh, that's interesting.
I mean, he could be right about that age.
Yeah, yep. I hadn't considered Jason, but that's a really good idea. I don't think we're going to see Ezra, because Ezra's with Thrawn, and that's going to be for the next movie trilogy.
right. So, yeah, how could I forget the Johnson Thrawn trilogy? Yeah.
You know, but I can't talk
too much about that. But I signed the NDAs. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but you know, it's cool.
I'd say the one thing that excites me the most about this new series coming up is the line they had in the very beginning of the press release, that this is, this new character, this new pilot, and I'm not going to pronounce his name because Eric already did that.
Badly.
Eric already got it wrong. Why should you?
Ziono. He is learning, information, spying basically on the First Order. And I really want to know more about the First Order. So to me, this is going to be filling in some of the blanks that the movies haven't given us.
Right. All that context that we keep talking about that's missing.
What's the state of the galaxy? What's going on? How did the First Order come to be? What's their claim to fame? We've had hintings about it in some of the novels, but this may be their first chance to see it on screen.
Well, and what also interests me a lot here is that in the Phasma novel, if you remember, one of the central characters in the telling of that story, or actually the character that told the story in the Phasma novel, was a spy. She was captured in a ship by the First Order. So I wonder if there's going to be some involvement of that character in there as well, because I think that would be really interesting. And it'd be another bridge. I like when they build the bridges instead of doing these isolated stories.
Yeah.
When they have these little threads that connect to other things, you can say, oh, hey, I remember that, or I remember that character or that event, or this ship looks like, you know, or we've seen that planet before, that kind of stuff. I love that stuff. You know, make those little connections. Yes. Yes.
Right.
The Phasma, but with the red armor.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't even think about the fact the Phasma book, the timing would work out really well as far as where it falls into the timeline.
Mm-hmm.
And there are definitely characters that could overlap there.
Yeah.
Now, just to get, have you guys seen anywhere about what the actual time frame is for this? Is it before or after the movies we're getting right now? I mean, it's Resistant, so it's, in this current timeline for the new movies, but is it before or after?
I mean, the only thing that's been officially stated from Lucasfilm that I'm aware of is the contents of this press release. The implication, everybody seems to agree that the implication is it takes place prior to episode 7.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Now, a lot of that's based on assumption, but I would say that's a pretty fair I mean, they're talking about spying on the growing threat of the First Order. So it kind of makes it sound like this is the First Order's coming into its own.
Right.
Yeah, because, I mean, at this point in the story, spying on them's a little moot.
Yeah,
you know?
Sure. Well, I mean, yeah, I guess.
So, to an extent, anyway.
That makes sense. These before episodes. And that makes me happier then, because this is what I want to know. I want to know where these guys came from, how they get to this point in... you know, the story where we're seeing them in episode 7 and 8.
Well,
and a big part of that is not only the general galactic context that we've been craving all this time, but it's also, could we be getting information on Snoke?
Oh, probably too. The first paragraph, by the way,
he's dead to me.
The first paragraph of the press release does say that the person is tasked to spy on the growing threat of the First Order. Right. So, yeah, so that makes me think that this is going to be not only pre The Force Awakens, but I think well before that. I'm thinking not too far along after the Aftermath books.
I mean, it could be.
Yeah. I mean, it would have to be after the Aftermath books end, right? Because the Battle of Jakku, it was still the Empire.
True.
So we know that it's set after that, and we can safely assume it's set before episode 7. I agree with you. I imagine it's probably, I mean, I would imagine that if they're smart with this and we're looking at least maybe 4 seasons, I don't think we're looking at more than 7. So, but we'll say between 4 and 6, then I would say it's probably going to be 4 to 6 years before The Force Awakens.
Right.
That works. Yeah, works for me.
And that gives them enough time to kind of build some intel on the First Order and kind of, I mean, this could be in the very early days of the Resistance too. I mean, the Resistance goes as far back as Bloodlines, but, you know, we could see, you know, the early days of Poe as a pilot and things like that. I don't imagine, I'm also going to go out on a limb here and say that there may be minimal overlap with the Poe Dameron comic, which I'm not caught up on, but I'm going to guess that that is going to be a lot closer to The Force Awakens than this show would be. I'm going to think, chronologically speaking, it's going to be Star Wars Resistance, Poe Dameron comic book, and then the movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Makes sense.
Holdo. We could see Holdo, too.
Yeah. That'd be cool.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
I'd like to, I think we're going to get more Holdo.
More of that character. Yep.
Yep. More Snoke. More Phasma.
Yeah, Snoke's
probably get Cardinal.
Me.
The main character is dead to everybody else, too, right now. the main character, the main narrator from the Phasma novel, rather. And wasn't there also somebody else left behind on the planet? That Ooh, someone in the book went back.
Asking for details. I can't remember details.
Yeah, it's been a little while since I've read it now. But I think that there are a lot of existing characters that they could pull into this pretty easily, which is cool.
Yeah, they certainly
and
should.
Not, that's not even counting the Rebels stuff.
Mm-hmm. I mean, especially seeing as, you know, we're talking about these characters that we've cried about before that we didn't have a lot of backstory. We didn't have a lot of depth for them. Right. They didn't get much screen time. You know, Phasma, right. Looking at you. If we get more of her in this to really make her out to be this bad warrior that, you know, she's supposed to be, I want to see that on screen.
And yet Snoke is dead. Well, you know, Phasma appears to be kind of dead too.
Phasma's so coming back. She's coming back.
We'll probably get some.
I think Snoke's coming back.
She's a little crispier on the edges, but she's coming back.
I think we'll also get some Hux.
Yep.
So we will probably get to see some earlier Hux in his development.
Are we going to get his dad?
Hopefully. Hopefully we'll get some. That's what, Brendel is the father?
Yes. Yep. Brendel Hux.
Okay.
Someone mentioned Admiral Sloan. I don't think the age would work out on that. I think she'd be too old. She'd be like in her late 80s or something, I think.
Maybe. Which is unfortunate, because
it's gonna be really
I like her character.
See.
Yeah, but, her character,
you know,
was great.
We're talking about all these people who were part of the First Order, it would make a lot of sense for us to end up seeing them and seeing, well, like you said, as the first paragraph says, the growth of the First Order.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, it's funny. We're talking all about these Imperial or, you know, First Order characters and how they're going to fit into this series, but the series is called Resistance. So we haven't talked much about what we're going to see on that side. And granted, we don't know much about who they are. So they have a clean slate to work with as far as putting characters in here, who they're going to be, make them, you know, grow into a fan favorite or a real hero or, you know, a scapegoat. So I'm excited to see that side of things too. But
yeah, hopefully we will get to see a little bit more about what the New Republic is about. And a little bit more of the kind of politics between the New Republic and the Resistance. And I think a lot of this is really going to be justifying the existence of the Resistance. Because, you know, as it's been told to us, the Resistance is this faction that kind of split off from the New Republic to face the First Order because the New Republic was kind of turning a blind eye to them. And if this is early on enough, then this is, you know, we're going to have a spy out there who's going to be gathering all this intel on the First Order, which will then justify the mission of the Resistance. So I think that could be pretty cool too.
But in doing exactly that, I think that we're back to focusing primarily on the First Order again. I mean, Rebels wasn't called the Rebellion, but Rebels focused a lot more on what was going on with the Empire than what was going on with the Rebellion. I mean, when looked at the main characters, it's, okay, Hera, here's a mission, go do it. And then through watching the mission evolve, we see what's going on with the different hierarchy within the Empire. We're seeing what's going on with Thrawn and stuff, because the story is set in the rebelling against that.
Yep.
So it wasn't a misnomer because it was called Rebels. So we're looking at the actual rebels themselves, the characters. With this case, I think it's going to be a lot like Rebels, where it's going to be this young pilot gets a quote top secret mission to spy, and it's going to be him inside the First Order. So I think it's still probably going to be, I hadn't even really thought about that until Lou pointed it out, but I think it's still going to be pretty First Order centric.
Yep.
And maybe we're not going to see a whole lot about the goings on of the Resistance as much as it is going to be more of a, here's your mission, go accomplish it.
It would be nice to get some kind of, imagery or at least, a couple scenes here and there from the Hosnian system, the seat of power for the New Republic and see what's going on there before it gets, decimated.
Right.
In episode 7. Right. So,
as much as I've always wanted a Rogue Squadron series, I hope that this brings about what we've always talked about wanting to see most out of a Rogue Squadron series. I mean, there's a certain camaraderie amongst military squads.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And especially pilots within pilots in general. Yep. So I'm really hoping that kind of the brotherhood, the fellowship, the camaraderie that we're going to get is something along the lines of what was exhibited in the X-Wing books, both Rogue Squadron and Wraith Squadron, though it looks like this is probably going to be as much Wraith Squadron sort of thing as just pilots. Wraith Squadron also was, I mean, it was a group of pilots who weren't known so much as being pilots as much as they were, an explosives saboteur and a sniper, and, ground infiltration stuff. Yeah. And if this is going to be focusing on someone doing spy missions, maybe we're going to get a little bit of a blend of that.
Yeah, well, I mean, time will tell. This is going to be this fall, so we're going to wait and hold our breath till then. But I'm excited for this. This is going to be fun to have Star Wars back on TV again.
Yeah,
I'm more excited about this than I am the Solo movie. If for no other reason than we are going to get 20 hours of content per year with this versus 2 hours of content with the movie.
Oh, sure. Right. And that's the great thing about these animated series is that we get longevity from them. We get a number of story arcs from them. We get a lot of development. And I think all the things that we talked about, there's a great chance that we're going to see all of these things appear and get continue to be developed to some extent.
Right.
Yeah.
And my math was wrong. That would be if it were an hour long show. It's going to be more like 10 hours of content.
That's still cool.
True. Still.
Yeah. Still. Well, unless you guys have anything else, I think we're about the end of this episode.
I have nothing.
I have no trivia.
I do have a trivia piece.
Oh, do you?
Oh, cool.
Yeah. I totally forgot about that. I'm sorry. And this is something that it's been known in doing my research. I was learning more about it than I had known in the past. But
are you researching Gungans again? I'm so proud of you.
No, I was not. Gungans and porgs.
Gungans are not the problem. It's just Jar Jar. Actually, Boss Nass annoyed me far more than Jar Jar ever could. But anyway.
Anyways. Okay, so my question for you guys before we get into the actual trivia portion of this. What number ties Five. Together... No, Tim, wait till I finish. What number ties together A New Hope and The Force Awakens?
What number?
Yep. What numerical sequence? I know it's a bit obscure. Like, I'm not giving you a lot of detail, but
the runtime of the movie?
No. A number that's mentioned in the films.
Well, it would have to be either. It wouldn't be docking bay 327.
Is there a 1138 somewhere?
It's
in both of them.
1138.
It's tied to that, but not the 1138 itself. Okay, so let me give
you. It's not the 5,720:1 because that would be Empire Strikes Back. Cell detention block.
No, you're close. You're on the right track. So is detention block what?
Detention block or the cell block? See, now I want to. Google what those were.
The detention block was AA-23.
Okay.
And her cell number was 2187.
Okay.
Yep.
Which was also tied to FN-2187.
2187.
Oh, okay. Yes.
So those two
tied
together. And that struck me as being a very neat coincidence. I never put that together for some reason beforehand. I was like, oh my God. You know, I mean, I always think of, the whole transfer from cell block 1138, and then there's the AA-23, right. But the 2187.
I forgot there were two cell blocks
Han
mentioned.
Says that, you know, she's in cell block, 2187. But now, do you guys know where the 2187 came from?
No.
I would only guess that, like 1138, it came from THX 1138.
It was tied to it, yes.
Okay.
The 2187.
I don't know how, though.
Yeah, and I didn't either until I was doing the research on this. So I'm trying to find the same link I had before here. The
while you're looking to that, have either of you seen THX 1138?
Oh, yeah.
I have a long time ago.
Yeah, it was a while ago.
Yeah, okay.
So 2187 was a short film that Lucas had based, or at least got the idea for THX 1138 from. It was a film...
Oh.
Called 21/87.
Okay.
And I did not know that.
I didn't either. And I'm trying to find the director's name. He passed
away.
So,
in other words,
the
80s. You're saying George Lucas ripped off Kurosawa and ripped off what's his face? The guy that wrote the book about the thousand faces and I forget the guy's name all of a sudden.
Yeah.
But not only that, but even then when he did his really unique work, THX 1138, that was a ripoff too. Is that what you're saying, Lou?
Well, the quote I found here on Wikipedia says, cell 2187 is a reference to the short film 21-87 by author Lipset. Mm-hmm. It reportedly inspired George Lucas to make the film THX 1138. So he didn't rip it off. He inspired him to do 1138.
Yeah, sure. I've heard that a lot from Rob Liefeld too, but that doesn't mean it's...
There you go. And also, there was another reference I can't find right off the top of my head, but the love interest of THX 1138, his love interest, mm-hmm. that was killed by 2187, which was the government agency or the government entity that performed that action.
Oh, okay.
So it was a lot of ties in that. I was like, wow, this goes deeper than I thought it did. But yeah,
I wonder if that short film is, I would imagine being that old, it's probably not something that's readily available for like streaming or on YouTube.
See, yeah, I don't know. 2187 is a 1963 Canadian abstract college film by Arthur Lipsick that lasts 9 minutes and 33 seconds. The short film is produced by the National Film Board of Canada, is a collage of snippets from discarded footage found by Lipsick in the editing room of the National Film Board where he was employed as an animator. Combined this with his own black and white 16mm footage, he shot the film, the footage on which he shot in the streets of Montreal and New York City and locations. So, definitely is a very bizarre compilation of images and sounds that Lucas thought, hey, this is great. Let's do our own thing. But
I'm looking at it on IMDb, and they usually say where you can get it if you can stream it somewhere, and they don't have any listing for it.
Have anywhere,
and they've just got Fat Chance. 1963 college film. Is that what you said, Lou? Yeah, find that anywhere.
No, not going to find anywhere. But so that is the tie between
really interesting.
YouTube,
A New Hope, and
it is on YouTube.
Are you serious?
Yes.
Okay. Are you serious?
Yep.
Wow. Okay.
Our homework is to watch that before next time. And
so, can you just search 21-87? Yes. Is that how you found it? Huh.
Cool.
We got another 9 minutes. Let's stream it right now. We'll do commentary over top of it.
But you know, I was amazed at myself that I didn't realize that 2187 was her cell block and Finn's number. I was like, I never put that together in my head.
I didn't either.
I remember watching The Force Awakens in the theater, and when he gave his stormtrooper designation, I thought, you know, I've got to go home and look up to see what I didn't recognize it as being referenced. I just knew that it was the type of thing. Mm-hmm. It's a reference to something, and I'm going to have to go home and look up what it is, and I just never did. So I didn't recognize it, but anytime they throw a number somewhere in Star Wars, you got to go look it up. Because it goes to something.
What the hell is this?
Uh-oh. You're watching it?
Tim, what'd you find?
Oh, I'm watching it. It's weird.
Yeah?
It's trippy. Okay.
maybe we'll have to throw that into the random chatter theater.
Random chatter theater.
Yeah.
What was the other thing? I need to write that down because we actually are going to. Oh, it was Beneath the Dome.
Yeah.
Okay, I need to write that down. We will actually screen that in random chatter theater. For more information on that, that's one of our Patreon perks. But so I'll have to add this to 21-87.
There's pigeons.
Pigeons. Yeah. All right. Wow.
That was my contribution for this episode. I figured that was a fun one. So
thanks, Lou, because you completely derailed it now.
I know I did. Yeah.
Hey, it is really hard to come up with things that people haven't heard yet.
Yeah.
About Star Wars or about George Lucas's other projects. I mean, it's 2018 now. How old is Star Wars? I mean, we're pushing, 40 years?
Yeah.
So it's getting harder and harder to find things that people don't know. This is really good.
It was 40 last year.
Oh, there you go. Yeah. Good catch, Lou. That's that might be one of the most obscure and yet still relevant things I've heard in literally years as far as trivia goes.
Yeah, at first, I was just looking at the whole 2187 and what the – where that came from, what the reference was. And then when I found it, I was like, oh my God, I never, Finn. No, oh my God.
Yeah.
Surprised me, but
cool.
Glad I brought it up.
Yeah, good catch.
This is the weirdest thing I've ever seen.
Tim, stop watching. Tim, stop watching.
We better close out the show because he'll just keep going.
Doors, leave Tim in the northern section of Echo Base watching 21-87.
He's going to be in the Wampa cages.
You know, if anybody has any feedback for us and want to get a hold of us, the best way to do that is by email. You can send us an email at echobase@randomchatter.com. It goes to all three of us, and we will try to respond. Tim, you're up. You got to stop watching, Tim. Tim.
Should we continue?
Okay. Echo Base. Twitter. That's us. Yep. So you can find us in places, places like randomchatter.com. We've got all, that's our website. That's ours. You know, that's us. All of our podcasts are up there. This is just weird. Completely threw me
PTSD.
Up. I kind of do. Instagram, you can find us at Outer Rim Network. Over on Twitter, the tweet, you can find us there at Random Chatter, which is what we use for both the Random Chatter show and kind of across the entire network. At Echo Base Podcast will get you to specifically stuff for this show. Lou, you have a brand new Twitter handle.
I do. Tell I just us changed about over it. So I'd be more like Tim and be unique and fun, as opposed to being more like Eric, who's kind of stodgy and old.
Wow. Says the guy older than Eric.
Hey. Who's got the fun Twitter name now, huh?
Me.
So my new Twitter name is Lou Skywalker, and that's Skywalker without the E.
And Eric, you still have a boring Twitter handle. What is that?
Eric Blythe, ERIKBLYTHE. You know, I had given a bounty of $50 for anybody who could come up with a new username, that I would like, but one that I would use.
Okay.
Doesn't have to be Star Wars related or anything. And, you know, I want to start doing Twitch in probably around July or so, and I'm starting to run out of time, and I'm thinking I might have to pull out the big guns. I've got an autographed, like a plaque with a picture autographed by Mark Hamill somewhere with a certificate of authenticity. I have no idea what it's worth. I know that Mark Hamill is no longer going to be doing signings. I'm tempted to offer that up as a
big steaming pile.
As a prize. Not to Lou then. I mean, I'm sure there's someone who would appreciate, I mean, it's mounted on a plaque and ready to hang and,
At Big Gas Bag.
Wow.
Anyway,
I'm just kidding.
You can find me on Twitter at Qui-Gon Tim. That's Tim with two M's.
All right. Well, we would love if you'd spread the word about the show, and maybe in a bit more loving way than Lou just expressed.
It's all in fun.
We would love it if you tell your friends about us. Again, we know you're going to be talking to somebody about Star Wars while you're in line for the Solo movie. It'd be great if you'd say, you know, hey, there's this podcast. They talk about Star Wars every week. It's called Echo Base.
What are the chances of them bumping into another Star Wars fan at the Solo movie?
I don't know. You know,
when
Lou and I went to see The Force Awakens and we were waiting in line, we had people that not only recognized the podcast we were on, they recognized our voice from the Forcecast.
Yeah, it was a little weird.
That's pretty cool.
That was a little weird.
But it was a little strange. I mean, like ordering popcorn and, excuse me, are you loose?
Yeah.
Who wants to know?
It's a little creepy, but in a very, very flattering
Echo
way.
Echo-based groupies. We love them.
Yeah. So, you're standing in line for Solo, you could run across someone who, I tell you what, if you run across someone who's already listening to Echo Base, let us know.
Yeah.
Cause like that would be the ultimate, what are the chances of that sort of thing? It's gotta be a stranger though.
Yeah.
Okay. Anyway, where was I? Oh yeah. Leave reviews for the show on iTunes or Stitcher or wherever, whether it be for the show or for the podcast, either one's fine, but we'd like it if you'd actually maybe type something up too. I think that gets people's attention a little bit more, but those reviews actually do matter. That goes toward the overall metrics that places like iTunes use for promoting podcasts and ranking them in their podcast repositories and such. So that really does help, believe it or not.
That kind of sounds,
and then finally,
painful, a podcast repository.
You're thinking of something else, Tim.
Oh. Okay.
Yes, I thought by now you'd have the terminology down pat. But
listen, I stopped
watching. Go back to your doctor and ask about it.
I stopped watching the movie, so my brain is like a little cooked.
Is fried.
I'm telling you, you watch the first 2 minutes of that thing, and you will have the exact same mental state that I'm in right now.
You know, I was thinking about it, but if I mean, we're recording kind of late. If I'm going to go to bed soon, maybe I should save this for tomorrow.
Yeah, Mike, give you weird dreams.
Tim might end up waking up in the middle of the night screaming, and his wife's going to be like, "Honey, what's wrong? Pigeons, pigeons everywhere."
And people chewing. Lots of people chewing.
Chewing. Yeah. Pigeons and hopefully not chewing the.
I don't know. Pigeons.
We're going to move along. Okay, so I mentioned Random Chatter Theater. If you don't know what that is, it's a new perk that we have for our Patreon donors, specifically the bonus level subscriptions and higher for $5 a month and more. Basically, we sit around and we watch a movie together, or we watch stuff that can be streamed online. We have a kind of a private viewing room on the web, and there's a chat room so we can converse and talk while we're watching whatever we're watching. And we have Star Wars related content there too. It's not specifically a Star Wars feature, but a lot of our audience on the Random Chatter Network are Star Wars fans. So the first event we're going to have, I think it's going to be May 12th. It is going to be the Star Wars Deleted Magic, where they show basically it's A New Hope, but they cut in like scenes before the special effects were inserted, or they cut in the deleted scenes. Like Han Solo sitting with whoever that woman is in the cantina before Chewie introduces Obi-Wan and Luke and things like that. It's really cool, but this gives us a way to sit and watch it together and kind of have a sense of community about it. So that's a relatively new perk on Patreon that you can check out. And then as far as the sense of community, the biggest way that we are able to provide that to the people who donate is just through Discord. If you go to randomchatter.com/Discord, you can get in and hang out in the main lobby. There's an announcements channel. But for the people who donate at least $1 a month through Patreon, that unlocks the entire Discord server, and there's all kinds of channels in there. How many did we count at last count?
Like 70 or something. It's crazy.
70 or something.
And that doesn't even count and, like the ones that we have access to.
Yeah, not the admin-only ones. And the funny thing is, the vast majority of those are actually active.
Yeah.
I think we've gotten rid of most of the channels that had kind of the topics had gotten stagnant or something. We have a ton of actually active channels there. And it's $1 a month. And I know that that's probably no big deal to you. It is a big deal to us because it adds up in such a way that it helps us get the bills paid for the network.
Crowdsourcing.
And it keeps us up and running. Yep. Yeah. And we are very, very appreciative to our donors. And we love the community and hanging out with people during the week, let alone when we get to actually record. So go to randomchatter.com/Patreon, and there's more information there. So go check it out.
Except Mike. I don't know about hanging out with Mike.
Well, you know, we're giving Mike his own new show pretty soon, so that'll take some of the pressure off of you having to do it.
I hope so, because entertaining him on a daily basis is, like, exhausting.
Wow.
Just kidding. We love you, Mike.
There's a story there somewhere. You'll have to go to Discord to find out what it is.
The music you hear on this podcast that's before and after the show is the Imperial March by Cell Dweller and the Force Theme by Scandroid.
Well, thanks, guys. We're going to close the blast doors now and get out of here. We'll see everybody in about a week.